Very often when we talk about Kavanah Brios, we think it's a nice touchy-feely thing to do, and it's something more al derech ha-musar, but I'm here to discuss tonight just a little bit of how much of a role and a factor the Din Kavanah Brios plays in being Koveh al-Halacha in certain instances. There was a shaila that came up this week, which is why I decided to get into this a little. And we'll see in a few minutes exactly what the parameters are of how Kavanah Brios is able to determine the halacha and where it cannot. So number one, we have to start the sugya by looking at the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tesam and Beis, where the Gemara has a whole slew of rayas, a whole shaka vataria sugya in the Gemara about when we should say Kavanah Brios pushes a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan aside, and when we assume that Kavanah Brios is not able to violate an iser either mid'oraisa or mid'rabbanan. So the Gemara's final rule is that there's a difference between isurim d'oraisa and isurim d'rabbanan. And the Gemara's maskana is that with all Isurim derabanan, Kavanah Brios trumps an Isur derabanan. Therefore, says the Gemara, if I ever have a situation where I can either violate the Isur derabanan and thereby I will have some more Kavanah Brios, I'm allowed to violate the Isur derabanan. Afilu b'kum ba'aseh, the Gemara says, even if it's going to mean that I go up and do that activity with my hands. It's not just a passive activity, it's something which I'm actively doing, says the Gemara. If it's an Issa Durabanan, that is Mutter, and we would push aside an Issa Durabanan, but Makum Kavanah Brios. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud Beis and Arachayim, where the Mechaber is talking about a person who has to go to the Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos, and he doesn't have, back in the olden days, they used to use stones. Avnei Beis HaKiseh. We know that stones are Mukta on Shabbos, obviously, unless I designate them to throw out the cars on Shabbos, you know, who are driving, obviously, but if not, so if you just have regular stones, so then we assume that stones are Mukta on Shabbos. So how am I allowed to ever use them in the Beis HaKiseh? So says the Mechaber that since stones are only muksa, which is only in Issa D'Rabbanan, so Mishum Kavanah Brios, it's not Kavanah Brios that a person is going to go to the bathroom and not have anything to use for himself. So therefore the Mechaber says in Simon Shin Yud Beis that based on this principle from the Gemara Brachos Daf Yud Tes, a person is allowed to touch the stones on Shabbos, even though he did not set them aside before Shabbos, and therefore they should have been muksa. That's just the simple application of that Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes. A further Gemara which discusses this is in Shavuos Daf Lamed Amud Beis, where the Gemara has a famous line, Va'amdu Shnei HaAnashim, that a person always has a chiyuv to go give testimony if he knows something about a case. So the Gemara says, if I happen to be a big Talmud Chacham, and I think that this Bezdin that's subpoenaing me to come to court, I happen to think that they're nothing special. So it's a bizayin for me to go and give edus in front of them. So says the Gemara, I'm not mechiyuv to go and give edus in front of this Bezdin. Why? Because it's Kavanah Brios. I'm a lot more chashuv than they are. I'm not mechuyev to go. The Gemara does qualify the statement and say that that's only when we're talking about Dini Mamonis. If there's a fight between two people, and now they need the Bezdin to find witnesses for either side, so then when it comes to Dini Mamonis, I'm allowed to look at my Kavanah Brios in a more special light than to be mevazah myself and go to the Bezdin. However, when it comes to Isser Beheter, obviously that one might be a little bit different. Let's say when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, so you're going to say, well, I don't want to present myself to the Bezdin because I think I'm more special than there. No, so over there we don't apply this rule. So that's the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed, and the Gemara there says, we learn this out from another Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara says that I always have a chiyuv to give back an aveda. If someone loses if there's a lost object and I find it in the street, I'm a chiyuv to take care of it and make sure it gets back to its rightful owner. However, if it's zakin ve'ena l'fi chvodo, which according to most Rishonim means, if I happen to be a big Talmud Chacham and you're going to see me walking through the streets with a woman's bathing suit that I found on the street, so it's not bar kavodik for me to do that. So I'm not mechuyev to do hashavas aveda in such a case. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Chav Tes. And from there, the Gemara learns in Shavuos Daf Lamed that if there's a bezdin that subpoenas me to come to them and give some sort of testimony, if I feel it's beneath my dignity, I'm not mechuyev to go. So that's just a couple of examples that we find in the Gemara. The Gemara also says in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalid that if, let's say, I have a mace that's in a house, Rachmana Litzlan, someone passes away on Shabbos, and now I have a mace in the house. So it's ruining the Simchas Shabbos. Everybody cannot really enjoy the Shabbos because the mace is beginning to smell and it's spoiling. So it's ruining the whole atmosphere of the house, and it's also degrading for the mace because I should really be putting it in a refrigerator somewhere where it won't spoil. So let's say it's in a boiling hot room. So the Gemara says in Shabbos over there that I'm allowed to carry it into a karmelis, because a karmelis is only asur mid rabbanan. And this is also quoted in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Parak Chaf Vav, where the Rambam writes that, Mishum Kavanah Brios, I'm allowed to take a mace out of a room or out of a house on Shabbos and bring it outside. The Shulchan Aruch extends this a little bit more in Siman Shin Yud Aleph and Hilchos Shabbos, and he says that we would even allow you to take it out if it's in any sort of bizayin. Let's say it's on a boat, and you know there's some sort of bizayin, even if no one else is on the boat, but it's a bizayin on mace. So he says that Kavod Abrius overrides the Din Rabbanan of Tiltum Muktzah of a Shabbos and of Hatzah into a makom which is only Rishus Midrabbanan. So we would assume in such a case that you were allowed to, Mishum Kavod Abrius, you were allowed to be violating the Isur Dirabbanan. The Yerushalmi writes in Shabbos as well that when it comes to an Avil, if let's say he's in the middle of getting a haircut and Pitom, in the middle, he finds out somebody comes to tell him the bad news that his parent passed away. So he's not allowed to get a haircut. He's in the middle of, he has to go take care of the kvura. He's an oimin. He's not really allowed to do any malacha. So, but they're in the middle of shaving his head. So what's he supposed to do? So the Rishonli says that whether the barber gets this message or the person who's sitting in the barber chair who's getting the haircut gets the message, either of them is allowed to finish up the haircut. Why? Because Mishum Kavod Abrius, you're going to look like a fool going into the street with half your head shaved and half the head not shaved. So therefore, says the Yerushalmi, this is also Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Sadi in Yerodea, where the Gemara Yerushalmi tells us, and the Mechaber Paskins as well, that Mishum Kavod Abrius were allowed to violate the din of an one not to a melacha, and number one, I'm allowed to finish off the haircut that I began, and number two, if the person started getting a haircut, he's allowed to finish off as well. The Mardechai writes, which the Kesef Mishnah quotes on the Beis Yosef, that the reason for this is Mishum Kavod Abrius. That's why we would allow it, because a person will be embarrassed to go into the street. Now, the shiloh that came up was the following. There was a boy, which is the exact same shiloh that Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzin, the Shalom Eshev, asks in his Tshuva Shalom Eshev Siman Rei Shalif. The Shalom Eshev has a shiloh that there was a 25-year-old boy whose beard, he grew a beard, and half of his beard turned white. So he's very embarrassed to walk in the streets. That 25-year-old kid has a big strip of white in the middle of his beard. He was extremely embarrassed to walk into the streets. So he sent a shayla to Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanz, and he wanted to know what exactly should he do. A similar shayla came up. There was someone who was applying for a job. That this is how I came to it. There was someone who was applying for a job, and he said if he doesn't look put together and he doesn't look as good as he should, so he was concerned that they're not going to hire him for the job. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to dye part of his beard, which is white? He's very young, and part of his beard turned white. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to dye part of his beard or not in order that he should get the job? So that's a shaila with regard to Gnevas Das. Are we allowed to dye our beards in order that we should look a little bit younger? So that was that shaila. But over here we have a different shaila. What do you do about L'Silvash Gever Simlas Isha? We know that a man is not allowed to wear women's clothing. He's not allowed to do women type of activities. So included in that, most Rishonim assume, is dyeing one's hair. If a person has white hairs and he wants to dye them black to look younger, so that is included in the Isser Lo Silvash. So the shaila is, what should this 25-year-old boy do whose part of his beard turned white and he's very embarrassed to go into the street? Says the Shalom Eshev, since Mishum Kavod Abrius, and he says, according to many Rishonim, the Ravid and many others that the Beis Yosef quotes in Shin Pei Beis, in Yerodea. So he says, based on that, which is Seichem and Ismarachan as well, but based on that, the Shalom Eshev wants to say that Mishum Kavod Abrius, we're going to allow you to violate the Isur Derabbanan of Lo Silvash. And he says that many Rishonim assume that dyeing your hair is only an Isur Derabbanan of Lo Silvash because it's not the real Isur Torah. The Isur Torah is to wear women's clothing and to do real women's activities. But he says over here, this might not constitute a real Isur Torah, and since it's only an Isur Derabbanan, so Mishum Kavod Abrius or Matur. My father told me another two Snifim L'Hakel, and that is Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein is famous for saying in the Levushei Mordechai that any time there's an Isser Lo Silbash, that would only be an Isser when the woman would do the same type of activity. So now for a man to do that activity would be Asr. However, over here, where a woman never has a beard, so the Isser Lo Silbash may not apply. That's the Chiddush of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, and that's what many Achronim are Samechan as well. My father said there's a third Snif L'Hakel, which he felt was most compelling, which is the following. The only time there's an Isser Lo Silbash is if I'm a 70, 80-year-old man, and I have white hair, and now I want to dye my hair black so that I should look younger. But over here, the 25-year-old boy wants to dye his hair in order that he should look 25. He wants to look his age. He doesn't want to look younger than he's supposed to look. He wants to look the way he is supposed to look, naturally. So what's with Gnevas Das? So many Achronim...
No, you're avoiding. There's no issue with
Gnevas Das. Oh, there's no issue with Gnevas Das. Exactly. Yeah, so this is the way out of Gnevas Das as well. That if a person applies for a job and he thinks he doesn't look presentable because he has white hair, so we would assume that he's allowed to dye his hair because there's no Gnevas Das. I'm not tricking them that I'm younger than I am. I'm actually making myself look and present myself as if I am the proper age. I'm not 50 years older than I really am. So therefore, in such a situation, we would assume that that would be permissible. And I saw an absolutely beautiful tshuva in the Ramah today, where the Ramah writes in a tshuva in Siman Kuf Chaf Hei the following. He says that there was a Yesaima, a tremendous story. He says there was a Yesaima whose father, right before he passed away, he worked out a shidduch for her, and this couple was engaged, and they were trying to work out the nedunya, the nadin, what's he going to give for the chasid? And they couldn't come to the terms, and the father passed away, and here this Yesaima is stuck. What's she going to do? She's not going to be able to get married to the boy that she was engaged to. So the Ramah writes the whole story, and he says that he writes it in great detail. It's a beautiful story the way he writes it up, but he says that this woman, one of her uncles, decided it's going to be on his shoulders. He's going to decide that he's going to raise all the money in order for this girl to get married. So they make a day for the wedding, that they're going to get married on a Friday afternoon. That used to be the practice in Europe, so that they should save money on the meal. This way they'll have the Shabbos Suda be the Chasana Suda. They won't have to make two Sudas. So therefore, this wedding was staged to be on a Friday afternoon, and they couldn't work out the details with the Nadin. Everyone shows up for the Chasana, and the Chasana says, where's the amount of money I was promised? I don't see it. And there was a big fight broke out. The two families were fighting with each other. The Chasana said he wants to break off the Shidduch. Terrible fights going on. So the Rabbanim of the city went to the Chasana and said, look, she's a Yisayma, so don't do everything for the money. No, you shouldn't marry a girl just for the money. He says, I don't care what anybody says. I was promised this money. That's what I want. So they're back and forth on Hina Harris. So finally, until they worked out the details, it was already late, and now it's already Shabbos. So now we're stuck. Finally, we work out the details, and it's Friday night already, and the Ramah is supposed to be the Masada Kedushin, and here we are Friday night with the Yisayma, who's waiting to get married. She already went to the mikvah, and we're stuck. We can't get married. So the Ramah made a psak. Halacha l'maisa, he says he was the one who was Masada Kedushin on Friday night, even though there's an Isser, the Rabbanon of Makdishim B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha B'Shabbos, or you're not allowed to be Megarish on Shabbos. That's the Gemara in the end of Beitzah, fifth parak. So the Ramah said, since that's only Nisa Durabanon Gzeir Shem Yichtov, or because it looks like Mecha Chomemkar, whatever the Gemara says, since it's only Nisa Durabanon, the Ramah says, Mishum Ein Lecha Bizayin Gadol Mizeh, that a Yisayma should have to wait and not be married like all her friends are married, and that she should have to go through all this terrible Bizayin just because of the money. So he says, I was Masada Kedushin on my own Friday night, and therefore I permitted it because Kavod Abrius is Daicha Issa Durabanon. That's what the Ramah made of Psak. It's a beautiful tshuva. And he says, people sent him letters, Hayitachin, we heard you were Masada Kedushin on a Friday night. And he sticks up for himself. He writes a 5-page tshuva explaining why that was permissible and why he feels that it was the right thing to do and why he says that anyone else should do the same thing. The Bir Halacha quotes in Siman Reish Nun, B'Shem L'Chavis Yari, he says he's not sure why the Mechaber says that a person on Friday afternoon should do as much Malacha as he can for Shabbos. Right? He should prepare himself for Shabbos. He should go to the groceries. He should buy the challahs for Shabbos. He should do whatever has to be done. So the Bir Halacha quotes a kasha from the Chavis Yari. He's not sure exactly why this is permissible. Let's say I'm a big Talmud Chacham and I'm going to go be standing on the line in the grocery store with everybody else, so it's a big bizayin to me. Kavod Abriya should be daicha. So the Chavis Yari is not sure what exactly is the heter for a Talmud Chacham to do the Shabbos errands. So, no, it's a great idea. Become a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to do anything for Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha doesn't give that answer. The Bir Halacha writes, no. The difference is that by Machzir Aveda, that the Gemara says about Metziah Chavtes, over there, why am I not Mechliyev to give back the Aveda? Because he says, the regular person who sees me walking down the street with the women's bathing suit that I found in the street, so they don't know that I'm being Machzir Aveda, they don't know that I'm giving back a lost item. All they know is that you're doing something that looks very strange. So says the Mishnah Berurah, since they don't know what's going on, so that's a design and Kavod Abriyas would override that iser, that mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. However, when it comes to standing online on Friday afternoon to go buy the groceries, everybody knows that you're doing a Dvar Mitzvah. Everybody knows the only reason you're in the store is because you want to buy this stuff for Shabbos. You want to have a nice Shabbos meal. So therefore, that would be permissible. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. There are two problems with the Mishnah Berurah's teretz. Just talking quickly so that we can finish up. Two problems with the Mishnah Berurah's teretz. And those are the following. It would seem, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that if a person is being Meshav Aveda, and he holds up a sign, a picket sign, as he's going along, and he says, by the way, I want everyone to know that I am being Meshav Aveda, so even a Talmud Chacham should be allowed to be Meshav Aveda, which is not really the simple understanding of the Gemara. It would seem, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that as long as everybody knows clearly what I'm doing, that would be permissible. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that it seems from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yuchasim Abayz, that this is not the case. The Gemara over there is talking about Hilchos Eidos, that a Kohen Gadol doesn't have to go be made in a Beis Din, even though over there it's obvious why he's coming. He's coming for a Dvar Mitzvah. So that's a little bit questionable. My father thought the simple answer is that there's a difference between Mammon and Isser. That the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yotes that the times that we're violating Isurim, Yishim Kavod Abrius, is only by Din Mammonis and not by Isurim. And the reason for that is as follows. Tosha says in Shuas Daf Lamed, that the reason for that is that mammon is nitan l'mechila. Because when we're talking about monetary matters, I can be ma'achal of mammon. So therefore, when it comes to Ashavas Aveda, I'll be ma'achal you from being meshem Aveda because you're a big Talmud Chachma. When it comes to Yisurin, we would not allow a person to override that halacha just because of Kavod Abriya. So that's what the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yotes. So the same would be over here. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Ayin, just for example, the Gemara says over there, Parnas Hamamuna Al Tzibur. If you have a Talmud Chacham who is in some sort of position of authority, so we would assume that a Parnas Hamamuna Al Tzibur is not allowed to do Malacha B'fnei Shlosha. That's what the Gemara says. He's not allowed to go and do some sort of degrading activity in front of three people watching him. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Chashem Mishpat Simen Ches as well, that a Parnas Hamuna Al Tzibur is not allowed to do work in front of others. It's interesting, the Kesev HaKachem asks on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch there, the Buchacha Rav. He wants to know, how is Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler? We all heard of Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler in the Gemara, so what does Samler mean?
He's a shoemaker.
So how is Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler allowed to be a shoemaker? It was Avodah Shel Mizayim, so he asked his Kasha, how could it be? How is he allowed to do it? So I did see that some say that the Yerushalmi in Chagiga writes that really he was from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. So HaSamler wasn't that he was a shoemaker, it was Rashi Tevis for Alexandria. He was Rabbi Yochanan from Alexandria, so we call him Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler. Anyway, whatever. So the Gemara says over there that he's not allowed to do, once he's a Parnas Hamuna Al Tzibur, he's not allowed to do malacha in front of other people, because that's a bizayin, that's a violation of Kavod Abriyas. So the Gemara does say he's allowed to build a makkah. And the Be'er Heitiv takes that a step further. He says he's also allowed to build a sukkah. Many Achronim take that a step further and say he's allowed to do any mitzvah, because as long as he's involving himself in a mitzvah, that's not a violation of Kavod Abriyas. That's doing something which is enhancing his kavod, because people see that he's involving himself in mitzvahs, and therefore that would be permissible. So my father thought over here as well, that with regard to buying the packages, with buying all the food for Shabbos, even though the Bir Halacha quotes the Kasha from Lechavos Yair, why should it be permissible for a person to do the activities on Friday, Letzarech Kavod Shabbos? We should say that Kavod Abriyas trumps the din of Kavod Shabbos. The answer according to this would be that possibly that for any Dvar Mitzvah we assume that it's permissible. The same way a Tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham is allowed to build his own sukkah, the same way the Gemara says he's allowed to build his own makkah, so too he's allowed to do the grocery shopping with Kavod Shabbos. This is just some of the Rashi Prakim where we find many times in Halacha that Kavod Abriyas is not just a nice Inyan Ben Adam Lachaveru, but it also can be a very serious factor when it comes to Dinim Ben Adam Lamakom as well.